Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, back in studio by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, the hangover, as it were, from Indy Live has abated. We are back to business as usual, just doing our program, just doing radio, just being lunch pail guys and working really, really, really hard at this craft, which we love. Pipe, you, I'm getting right into it. We have no business, right? We have no new sponsors to talk about?
Other than the perpetual reminder that Ligaris Roasters coffee is the best and people should go get it at ligarisroasters.com. And
dude, it is. We haven't.
It's really good.
We haven't gassed up Peck in a while, man. So we, I feel bad about that.
I just got three bags of coffee from him in the mail yesterday. So I'm fueled up and ready to go on Ligaris Roasters coffee, but so should everybody else be.
Dude, that guy's incredible. Is he a rich guy yet? Is he doing rich guy things?
Well, he's doing rich guy things. And the goal, according to our dear friend Dave, is you do rich people things so that you get rich. So he just snagged another podcast sponsorship with the Table of Malcontents podcast, the other one that I do. So, Ted, you and I have two podcasts represented with Ligaris. Ronnie, you need to do another podcast, maybe with your new Ashland neighbor. And then we could all have two podcasts represented with Hector Ligaris.
Dude, I feel like that cheapens the Ligaris sponsorship that we've had all these years.
Serious real talk here. Over under on number of weeks before Trogues asks you to do a podcast.
From when
he moves to town. So I'm setting the over under at 3. Pipe, are you taking the over 3 weeks or under?
I'm
going to
go over under 3 weeks ago.
Nice.
Boys, I already have tragic answers for you on this. It's already happened pre-move.
Really? The ask has happened?
Correct.
What can you tell us about the ask, baby? What's the format? What kind of show does he want to do with you?
It was very open. Like, what do you think the possibilities are? You know, this could be something in person. You know, just imagine what could be done.
Dude, he's ready. Imagine he's ready to create with Ron Martin.
Correct.
He's ready to get into that little wooden studio in your garage and make some radio magic.
Yes.
Keep us posted on that. That's exciting.
Absolutely. Keep you posted. You mean send you like an offer to sign up for our new podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Send me the iTunes link and all the good press that you're getting. You know, do this, Ron. Send me a picture of the new car that you buy with the proceeds.
Absolutely. Because unlike some people, I don't feel guilty about like buying a car that runs, Big T.
Well, baby, I want to use that as a segue into our first topic. So something happened this last week. I actually found out about it, Big R, before you even mentioned anything to me.
Interesting.
Because I have a friend. I have a friend here in our church, dear friend. His name is John. Great guy. Huge fan of the program, dedicated listener. John is like, Ron, you're in a smallish church. Pipe, your church may be too big and too Nashville-y for this, but like, because
I can't tell if that's an insult or just an observation.
Dude, I don't know yet. I got to get a little deeper into it. But like, the kind of smallish churches that I've been involved with for the past probably 15 years, they all kind of have their business guy. You know what I mean? It's always like a youngish to early middle-aged guy who's known for like business deals and like that's his thing. And he's kind of the Dave Ramsey and rich guy of the church. And everybody kind of looks up to this guy. And so this guy, John from our church, texts me a picture of your new car, Pipe, which you had posted on social. And he was really bummed because like mere weeks beforehand, he had bought the same style of car.
What exactly bummed him out? I didn't realize that my purchase of a vehicle would disappoint others.
That's funny. He must be like an Enneagram 4 because he wanted to be the only guy, I guess, with this unique kind
of
new style of car.
With this super popular style of SUV called a Toyota 4Runner that thousands of people drive.
There's only been a million of those made this year.
Piper, I'm glad you said that because that was the thing about his purchase that I didn't understand. He kind of spoke of it in these terms as though it was this like, you know, rare Italian, you know, sports car that they only made like 500 of, you know, 10 years ago or whatever. But yeah, I don't know anything about cars really, but it seemed to me that the Toyota 4Runner was a little more common than maybe he had thought it was. But anyway, he's not actually mad at you, but he was excited to send that along. Now, Piper, walk me through the thought process, because I got what you were doing with that post. You were kind of teasing the whole Dave Ramsey thing, and you were doing the very thing that I suggested that you do, which is just outright brag about your purchases and don't couch it in any kind of thinly veiled, flimsy Christian humility. And you did that, and I'm curious as to what kind of feedback you got. Lay it on us.
So, first of all, I would like to give a shout out to our listeners who saw that post and understood exactly what I was doing, because you guys are the smartest. So I just posted a picture, and all I said was something like new ride or my new baby or something like that. And then I used hashtags grateful, hashtag blessed, hashtag rich people things, and then hashtag braggy brag, as opposed to the humble brag, which would have been the more evangelical way to go about it.
That's right.
Yeah, I was simply going full on irony of I got a new car and I'm going to post it because I'm excited about getting a new car. And all of these hashtags are a subtle shot at the way that people, they normally try to couch their, the hashtag blessed is usually not ironic. It's like, man, look at this. God gave me this car kind of thing. So I also would like, I had a couple of people who were, they congratulated me on naming it and claiming it. I think that was nice. Tongue in cheek. I took it that way. It was very funny to me. So yeah, just the I felt an obligation to do what you said, Ted, and not either hide this new purchase or put it up there with sort of a long excursus of just how grateful I am that God has provided the means to be able to get this thing and the great deal that I got, all of which is true, but also, hey, look at this cool car I got.
Dude, thank you for not white papering about your new purchase. I feel like that's the other reform thing.
or defending it by being like, well, I got a really low APR and I was able to put a lot of money down. So my monthly payment is really good. And a friend hooked me up with this deal and it was a great trade-in price. And I was able to get
more
than
I expected. You're not even talking about the car anymore, right, Pipe. You're just talking about all your guilt, because as Christians, we're really not allowed to drive anything that isn't like literally like 1 mile away from like collapsing and needing to be taken to like the junkyard.
Right.
You know?
If you see a Christian in like a luxury car, go up to him and say, nice car. And they'll be like, my grandma gave it to me. You know,
yeah, mainly pastors, though, man. Pastors cannot. I mean, dude, if I shouldn't even be, I almost shouldn't even be driving. I mean, unless
it's
like Flintstone, no engine, rolling that thing out with my bare feet car.
Big R, I can tell you're a resident man of the cloth, obviously, and you're a man who likes to pamper. You like to pamper yourself, and you like to live well. I can tell you're tweaked by this whole trend toward, pastors having to like self-flagellate all the time and walk around in sackcloth and ashes. What do you make of this? How do you like walk that fine line in your church of, I want to enjoy the things that I can enjoy, but people will get tweaked if I live too well.
I don't know.
How do you do that?
I never really think about it that much. Cause the first thing is, man, cars are always kind of the weird thing for pastors for some reason. Like that's what carries the stigma. Like, yeah. I don't like nothing else really does like cars. I'm like you, Big T. I've never been a car guy, so I really don't care.
I think that's because cars are the thing. Like, cars and houses are the two things you can look at and go, I know how much that costs.
I know how much you make. Right?
Like, if you wore a tailored Italian leather jacket, I would look at it and be like, that looks nice. I don't know if that's an $80 jacket or like an $8,000 jacket. I don't know the difference. But if you roll up in a certain car, I could probably guess the price to within $3,000 because they're just ubiquitous.
Right. Yeah. And so like, yeah, because those are things that are easy to place, an accurate amount of value on, kind of, you know what I mean? But like, so it's just like the weirdest thing to me, because like I just don't care. I don't care what anybody drives. Because I don't really care about cars, and I kind of don't care about where anybody lives either. I understand the idea of like relativism with these things, right? So like I probably would have expected Heibel to drive something nicer than like a 93 Taurus. You know what I mean? And like not be offended because, like our boy Bill was in something a little bit, nicer than some like, 92 Pontiac something. Like that shouldn't surprise anybody. And so I don't know if Billy Boy's driving around in a Range Rover. I don't know. I guess, you know, because there's probably some zeros on his paycheck that most of us don't have. And so it's relative to what he can afford to drive. I mean, I know that gets us into all of these other like topics and issues and things of that nature. But like, I'm just not that concerned. So pipe and joy.
Piper, let's
guilt-free enjoyment.
In true Reformed fashion, let's put some parameters on this thing. All right. So let's say a given person is a Reformed pastor of a church of Ron. How big is your church?
We're like 300. Let me just add really quick that Bill's car is the least problematic thing about him. Carry on.
Well, of course, baby. Yeah. Good caveat.
Good caveat. Good. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Absolutely. Work. Baby, 300. Wow. So 275, but you padded the numbers a little bit for media. That's fine.
300 and 300. Well, the El Trogis are moving to town, and they're a homeschool family, I think. So there's probably a good 25 people there.
Oh, El Trogis moving to town, so we're up to 375 now.
All right, so let's say you're a reform pastor of a church of 300 to 350 people. All right, so small to mid-sized reform church. What's the most Piper? What's the most ostentatious car purchase as a pastor? So you're the senior pastor. You probably got a couple of guys on staff that are like kind of, you call them pastors, but they're part-timers or whatever. What's the most ostentatious car? What's the floor and the ceiling for what you can get away with?
Yeah, I mean, I think the floor is like fixed gear bicycle. So, you know, floor is as low as you want it to go, and you can justify that however you want. You know, you're going green, you're being a
right.
good steward,
you're
whatever.
Getting your like stewardship kind of hipster cachet right. from your fixie or your like 93 Taurus with duct tape all over it or whatever.
The ceiling, though.
Yeah, let's talk ceiling.
See, I was a little surprised by the reaction. So I got a late model Toyota 4Runner, which is it's a nice car, but it's not like a luxury car. It's not a it's not even like if you get a new pickup truck, you're paying twice as much as what I paid. So it's, you know, that I would put that in the range. Let's see.
Pipe, can we get the year on that vehicle, please?
2017.
Yeah, that'd be great.
2017. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. That's a good year for those, baby.
Yeah. It's a good vintage. It's a good vintage.
It's a good vintage.
Pipe, sure. Off the air, I want to talk about how I think that you, the reason why I think you bought that car at the time that you bought that car.
Okay.
But carry on.
Off the air. Got it. I'm interested to hear your hypotheses.
Yeah.
So, I think that's in the range. I think like if you wanted to go new, like just mm-hmm. new, something like a Ford Escape or like a Chevy Traverse, you know, if you needed like the family sized SUV. So like in a good solid American made mid-sized or larger SUV. I think that's probably kind of the high end. But then you have to drive it until the wheels fall off. You don't get to trade in every couple years as a pastor of a church that size. That's not how it works.
Right, right. No, totally. Totally agree. So let me ask you this, boys, and Ron, you can weigh in on this too. So if you're this pastor, yeah, you're welcome. Pastor of a small Reformed church, is anything like European on the table? Like could you roll up in a Mercedes
totally.
Or an Audi or a Beamer? And have it be okay with
it has to be old, right? Because if you get a 20-year-old Beamer, you can get it for like under 10K. You know what I mean? So
I mean, and especially if you're a hipster,
totally.
That's more than acceptable.
Yeah, you can get one of the diesel ones.
Yeah, exactly. Or like one of those old school like Porsches from the cheap Porsche from the 80s or the 70s. You know, you could do something like that. But even guys like that would walk around with like a low level of guilt because they'd hate that the sign on they'd hate that it said Porsche on it. You know what I mean?
If you look at like old Audis or Audis or whatever we call them, they basically like the Honda Accord in 1992 and an Audi are the exact same car. They're just like little compact, you know, fuel efficient vehicles. And so if you had a model kind of like that. It's, you know,
but it
sort
has
of like
to be
hipster
old.
Cool, but
it has to be old.
But it's not a luxury car at all.
But this is what I see now, boys, and you kind of went there a little bit, Big T. Like a lot of dudes now, if they live, if they're living in a town where their house is like a minute away from where their churches. Like they're going to do like hipster bicycling now is what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
And then so that's also going to allow them to like up the budge on like clothing, hipster leather bags like you guys saw me have at Indie Live.
Yeah, you got a couple grand worth of bag there on your shoulder, baby.
Yeah, for real. So like that justifies all of that, but it's like way less it's way less ostentatious, like you said. Like nobody really knows how much those $4,000 boots cost you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, let me lay
there's an Instagram account that knows how much those boots cost.
Exactly, Piper. Good segue. And I want to use that segue to lay kind of an overarching question for this next topic on both of you, and that is, you know, Piper, you've grown up in the world of pastors. Ron, you are currently a pastor. And for me, I've just gone to churches. I feel like there's we're at apex mountain of like preening. You know what I mean? And by preening, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know what that word means. Big
you
T.
mean Can preening. You, oh, baby, it's the perfect
you know
word.
Exactly what it means.
No, I don't, man. You got to educate me. I don't do that kind of. I didn't take Greek and Hebrew, so lay it out for me.
Baby, preening is. Let's keep it hypothetical again. Let's say you're the same pastor of the same 300 person Reformed church.
You can't just define preening. All right.
No, I'm going to define preening by laying like a real world example on you.
Oh, so you're pulling a pastor move on us right now. I appreciate
it. I'm pulling a pastor move. This is an illustration.
Correct.
So you're the pastor of this 300 person church. You're not famous. You haven't gotten the book deal yet. You're just a guy, right? But you got your Insta, you got your like, you know, kind of vintage sneaks that you're super proud of. You got your $2,000 worth of bag over your shoulder. You're photographing some things, you know, nothing crazy, you know, nothing over the top compared to your peers. But there's just a lot of public. There's a lot of preening. There's a lot of, you know, I'm thinking through my car purchase in light of what people are going to think. I think,
yeah, there's a curated image aspect for sure.
There's a big curated image aspect that Pipe, I think, wasn't around at all in your dad's generation, respectfully. Like the only guys that were doing that in your pops' generation were like the Hybels-y guys. But
And even Hybels was like, he was about as generic as it gets. That like in terms of aesthetic, it was only like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker and like televangelists who were preening that.
We're all Jim and Tammy now is what it is.
Well, basically yeah, because we're all basically being broadcast all the time. And by we, I mean pastors, because you're one of those, yeah. Ron, and we are not. So
yeah, because I know you don't do that generation. At all, Pipe. I appreciate that. Yeah keep me out. Keep yourself out of that category.
Dude, so Pipe, does your dad think it's weird that this is a thing, this sort of omnipresent preening aspect of pastoral ministry?
Oh, I'm certain he does. I would be afraid to ask him. Because one of two things would be the case. Either he would be paying no attention whatsoever, which is – there's a high likelihood of that for his own sanity. Or it would be like Mount St. Helens exploding with his –
like he's actually thought through this quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean I'm surprised that in – maybe you should submit a question to ask Pastor John about preening pastors. But like I feel like he might be a ticking time bomb just waiting to go off on – you know, the beautification of pastors. I mean, he wrote a whole book called Brothers Were Not Professionals. I wouldn't be surprised if he followed it up with, like, Brothers Were Not Beautiful People or something like that. You know, Stop Being Famous or something
Dude,
along
so
those lines.
This is the interesting thing, though. Like, it's always the pendulum swing, right? So you get the kind of apex mountain of preening, which we're in right now, and then the pendulum's going to, like, swing back to I'm wearing sackcloth and ashes, I'm driving my 93 Taurus, you know, I'm just schlumping around looking miserable.
I don't think the pendulum will swing back that way because people are so ego driven that only works if you can broadcast that you're doing it, which sort of defeats the purpose.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right. There's like a ton of dudes that do that. You don't know who they are because they're not preening.
Yeah. Interesting. So speaking of preening, boys, and speaking of this whole kind of moment that we're in. One of the things that's fascinating to me, and you guys shared this this Instagram page with me. It's this whole like pastor sneaker thing. What's the name of the actual handle on Instagram?
It is Preachers and Sneakers. So Preachers and Sneakers.
And Preachers and Sneakers.
Yes.
And ostensibly, like the purpose of this is just showing pictures of these Ponzi like preening preachers in their sneaks? Is that it?
Yeah, so pretty much every post is a picture of a famous preacher, so megachurch, whatever, wearing their super cool outfit, and then it's side by side with an image of the shoes themselves from a retail site showing the price. So let's find a recent example. Oh, our dear friend Stephen Furtick.
Birdie.
Friend of the show, Stephen Furtick. So here's the caption. Super fresh pastor Stephen Furtick keeping it mega clean in the off-white Prestos. And yes, for literally 15 seconds on release day, these cost $160 retail. Now, they cost $637 retail. So they are the Nike Air Prestos for $637. So that is an example. And it's basically just that over and over and over again.
Interesting.
And some of the prices on those shoes like are literally bonkers.
Yeah. And it's not just shoes. They will delve into apparel as well. So here's Judah Smith and I'm guessing his wife, and she is wearing a Gucci tank top and he is wearing Gucci cropped joggers, which retail for $490 and $980 respectively.
There we go.
But Pipe, didn't they have some shoes on there that dudes were paying like $5,000 and $6,000 for though?
John Gray, who is one of the preachers at Joel Osteen's church, wearing $3,700. Oh, what are these? Oh, they're called Prayer Yeezy 2s. So they're Kanye's shoes, except they have prayer in the name, so that's fun.
That makes it okay, guys.
Dude, so all right, I'm the worst person for asking this question in this way, but Pipe, are there any like real pastors on there? You know what I mean? like guys that aren't clowns. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Let me work on this.
Okay.
Carry on the conversation. I'm going to scroll through and see.
Well, I mean, but Big T, like, that wouldn't be funny, right? Like, if somebody threw a dude up there with his, like, $29 Chucks, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this just needs a timeout. There's a guy from Hillsong named Pastor Nathan Finocchio. Rhymes with Pinocchio.
Yeah, Finocchio. Yeah, for sure.
And he is wearing... They don't even have a name for it. They look like a cross between Italian loafers and like house slippers because they're slip-on shoes.
They're black leather in the front and
fur in the back, but it's like a furry rabbit tail. And then they have like
it looks
a,
like he should be selling you like a car radio in
then
Miami.
They have like a monogrammed image on them.
Yeah, that's a dude that's putting a lot of essential oil all over his body and like
just slathering himself in it.
Yeah, and wanting you to think that he sits around all day when he's not on stage at Hillsong with the lights on him, like playing, you know, acoustic folk songs, right?
Piper, who's the realest pastor on there? Is it this Pinocchio gentleman?
I'm still looking. So far, the closest to real is either Levi Lusco or Chad Veach, which says something.
Yeah, I'm surprised you went there with Lusco, man. Do you have like a thing there, Pipe, with a double L?
No, I just said realist. But on the scale on the scale of real that we're working with here, that's what we've got. Oh, I think Irwin McManus might be slightly more real.
Ooh, Irwin. Yeah, I like
did
it.
You know his middle name is Raphael, which makes him like 11 times cooler?
Is his middle name praying?
So, yeah, nobody remotely who we would consider, you know, a real pastor.
Dude, what is McManus rocking on his feet these days?
Dude, his was distracting because he was rocking like 11 layers of cool in his. Let's see. Top to bottom, off-white. Let's see. They don't show the actual shoes here. This is frustrating. They didn't get it right. Oh, let's see. And this one he is wearing... They're Nike Airs. It doesn't say the brand, but they're like this sweet Carolina blue then off white with some orange laces. This was one of their earliest posts, so they hadn't quite figured out the caption thing yet. This is just information, and they retail for a solid $999.
There we go, Irwin.
Yeah,
dude, that urban ministry, it pays well. I like it. All right, boys. So. Follow-up question. Ron, you go first, because you're conversant in the Reformed roster in a way that I think even Piper and I are not. Who's the most likely guy from our tribe?
Oh, Judas.
To end up on here. Like, who's going to end up on here? And this is gonna hurt, man. This is gonna think of the plenary and don't speak out of turn.
Well, I'm already not getting a plenary at Desiring God after John showed up at Indie Live, so that's already out the window.
Yeah, that's hard, man.
Yeah, we're done. That's done there. That was a bummer. Yeah. I said it to John.
Join the club.
Yeah, but Pipe, that's just nepotism if you get the gig. let me think here.
Thank you for saying that I just don't deserve it.
Yes, exactly.
No, you don't, man. You can't. You don't get it when you're the son. I'm trying to think here, man. Yeah, I think I feel like I'm going to get in major trubs with this one, man, because I got a couple of guys in mind, but I don't know that I can say them.
Oh, please. Fire away.
No. Seriously, you guys will know off the air why I couldn't. But okay. Like, who would be the most – like, here's what's crazy. Like, you guys know this, man. When we're talking about our tribe, you're talking about, like, you're lucky if you get a guy that's wearing sneakers on the platform, right? Because they're all wearing those more serious black slip-on, whatever those shoes are, those that nobody knows what they are, right?
The answer is Leonce Crump. Leonce Crump would probably
– that would be a possibility.
Because the man is styling all the time, and so if it's not sneakers, it's going to be some real nice loafers or something. Like he dresses up nice.
I'm gonna go E-Mace, man. I'm gonna go E-Mace.
Mason could potentially be up there.
I feel like Mason would appreciate a fine set of sneaks, so I could see that being a value.
Yes.
You know.
Oh, you guys. No comment.
I think. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Driscoll, realizing he's not really part of the reform camp, but, you know, in memoriam, I think, you know, he could show up in, like, some really high-end boots.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be in, like, full-on old man boot game, possibly, like, the cowboy boots made out of some, like, rare emu skin or something like that.
Yeah, dude, like sub-question. What old reformed white guy in a desperate grab for like grasping on to the fleeting youth is going to try to rock a pair of kicks to disastrous results?
Easy, Tim Keller.
No, Timmy K could pull it off. I think Timothy could pull it off, man.
Do you think if your pops went on stage for like some panel and they presented him with some like really hot pair of sneakers,
like some Air Force Ones?
Yeah, like he would like rock those things. Like kind of like Driskey did with the jacket.
I think there's no chance.
Yeah.
So my dad is literally the complete opposite into this. He wears shoes until my mother says you need to buy new shoes.
And then he's like, okay, shoes.
And then he's like, okay, spend $40 on new shoes. You know,
and that's even outrageous for him. That's like, dude, that's like, honey, shoes have gone up quite a bit in our day. Spend 40.
Yeah, he's like, I think you might be able to get two pairs for that at Payless, you know. So he's not even on the spectrum. I'm trying to think of guys who
maybe wartime.
Somebody like Darren Patrick, who is now like, he doesn't think he's old, but you know, he's got some gray hairs. He's a little salt and peppery. I could see him going in on some sneakers and people being like, ooh.
Yeah, I could see DP like saying like, dude, you know what, man, I'm still driving. You know, I went back to my 2000 era, my 2000 era Accord. So I can pop for some sneaks. I can see him doing that.
Do you think churches, you know how churches have like resource budgets? So there's like book budgets or software budgets or whatever. Do you think these mega churches have like wardrobe budgets for
fashion
these guys?
Fashion budgets, 100%. We do.
You have a wardrobe budget?
Of course.
In the church budget or in your own budget?
Of course you do. What are we, savages?
Yeah, I have a fashion budget. I mean,
how else are you supposed to keep up with the Anglicans?
How am I going to wear that? How am I going to wear that bag to Indie Live, guys? Where does that money come from?
Dude, leather goods are a line item in Ron's church.
Correct.
At the quarterly like members meeting, that gets walked through at the.
There's just like one word under my name, and it says fashion.
Fashion, and then it's parsed out into leather, denim, cloth. You know, very.
Somebody
very...
raises their hand in the members meeting is like. Looking at Pastor R for fashion this year.
Repurposed wood this year, because I feel like you're coming in a little low here.
It gets hiked up every year, boys. It's hiked up every year.
You got to account for inflation on the repurposed wood. I mean,
I'm glad that I have a team that feels that way.
You know what, boys? Call me old fashioned. I want to see my pastor in a schlumpy, dumpy, nondescript pair of shoes. And you know what? Maybe
you used to have a pastor in Michigan that was more like that.
No comment. No comment. Although Katie, he could probably afford some nice.
You know what? He's not likely to at all, but he would be the best to see try to pull off some of these like $2,700 sneakers.
Dude, it would be great. I would
imagine
love to
him,
see
yeah, in like distressed skinny jeans, military style jacket, and some really high end kicks.
Babe, isn't he all like he's all like basketball guy too, isn't he? He would there's potential.
If he's a basketball guy, he's like Hickory High basketball guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was all basketball guy.
Yeah, but he's not like fashionable like accessories on the court basketball guy. But yeah, no, this is good. I would like to see this. That's kind of what I was getting at with the question.
The problem is this, man. Like, if you want to, like, if you're the pastor that wants to be like the, I'm going to be the no fashion pastor. Like, that's going to be like, that's the new thing. You'll just look like every other pastor that doesn't care what they look like when they go up to preach, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
you'll have to go out of your way to look straight up like a hobo. If you want to be the no fashion pastor guy, because most
yeah, and then you're just going to be like an urban church planner, so it doesn't matter.
Otherwise, you're just a wearer of ill fit khakis at that point.
Yeah, you're just an inner city planter then at that point.
My favorite fashionable pastor thing though is in Pipe. Tell me if you love this. I love how these guys, to a man, they all try to skew about 10 years younger than they are. Like the old guy, the old gray haired guy, and like the camo jacket at the
baby. What are you trying to say right now?
Baby, not you necessarily, but like these guys at Drisky's conference. Like I'm looking.
Why
at
did you have that
lineup.
Necessarily? That was hurtful.
I was just qualifying a little.
Baby,
bit.
Baby, hold on. Let's go back to this word you just said called necessarily.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About skewing young. I mean, it's great. Like it's great entertainment. I'm not saying they should stop doing it because
problem is like everybody skews young now. Like it's literally it's different now. Everybody dresses. There's like been an equalization of like fashion really for like anybody under 55 to where everybody's wearing kind of the same.
John
clothes.
MacArthur says no. He says no. We do not all dress younger. Some of us dress in the suit that we're going to be buried in.
I said under 55, man. It's because, okay. Dude, I'm telling you. Look, man, when I think about the way my pops looked when he was 40, he dressed the same at 40 as he did at 70. There was literally no difference.
Like a grown-up.
Right, like a grown-up.
Dude, when are we all going to realize that this looks just manifestly ridiculous?
But like, you can't buy grown-up – like they don't sell grown-up clothes anymore, boys. There's nowhere to buy grown-up clothes.
Dude, I think we should put out a line of grown-up clothes, and I think we could make a killing.
Grown-up clothes?
Yeah, grown-up clothes, man.
Jeez, man.
Dress like an adult, you know? Dress like the adult pastor that you ostensibly are.
Not Gucci, Gooch, man. G-U-C.
Grown-up clothes. Gooch. Dude, I love it. I'm gonna get some people on the phone.
Do you already have some people on that?
Baby, I got some people on the phone. We're gonna bring Gooch to the marketplace. It's only a matter of time. Boys, do we have time for one more topic? I haven't even looked at the clock. That's how much fun I'm having on radio. Got time for one more quick one. This one's gonna be a little controversial, boys, a little hot takey. We had a lot of pre-show dialogue about whether we should talk about this, but the spire, part of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, which I did visit a few years ago, it was beautiful, has burned down to much traction on social media. A lot of people dialoguing about this. Piper, let's talk about people's grieving of Notre Dame, because I don't know, call me a hard-hearted cynic. I'm not sure this is as devastating to everyone is maybe it's sounding like it is. Shed some light on this.
Yeah, I was watching social media coverage as I do. That's kind of how I get most of my news. And I see that there's a fire there. And then, you know, over the course of a few hours, it's obvious that it's a pretty monstrous fire. And the outpouring of like heartbreak over the burning of this building was really caught me off guard. Because I mean, I know that it's iconic and I know that it's beautiful and I know that it's a loss of history, but it seemed way out of proportion compared to the outpouring of heartbreak about tragedies that involve, like, I don't know, real human beings instead of gargoyles and roofs and stuff. And it seemed to me as I thought about it, I was like, this feels like this is like safe grieving. Mm. We can, there's no like loaded implication to a statement of grief about this. You know, if you grieve a tragedy of, you know, whether it's a mass shooting or a terrorist attack or an earthquake, you kind of are putting your heart on the line. It's a risk, and or there's a political implication or something like that. Whereas this is, it seemed sort of like risk-free grief or something like that. I don't know exactly how to put it. I'm sure I'm just crapping all over someone's feelings, but that it just seemed really weird to me. What do you guys? I mean, what was your thoughts when you saw kind of the flood?
Big R, what about you, man?
Baby, I think he was asking you, but I'll answer. I don't know, man. I'm with Pipe, man.
Yeah, cool.
I struggle
I'll talk
with the
to you guys in a minute.
I struggle with sort of the grief that doesn't, just what Pipe said, doesn't really cost you much.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks almost like a self-pitying grab to me. Mm-hmm. It's like I want people to think that, you know, I care about like this amazing, you know, fortress, you know, an artistic pinnacle of, you know, of our day. And so, you know, I want to be able to say something, you know, with some magnitude about my reflection on it. But you guys know this about me. Like, I'm the guy that struggles when like another rock star passes and like, you know, some guy like posts like, oh my gosh, my whole life is destroyed. And it's like, what, because you heard his hit single 15 years ago and you have no connection to any of his other records. You've never bought any of his music, but like, you know, somehow this is, you know, this is causing you to have to, you know, take the next 2 weeks off work to, you know, kind of get your wits
work
back
through
together.
The feelings.
Yeah,
maybe
work through all the
feelings.
That's
fascinating. How much of a fan does somebody have to be able to grieve a dead rock star? How many records do you have to have? Let's say the rock star put out 10 records, and he dies. If I have six, am I able to then?
I mean, baby, like, no, I'm not trying to be snark about it. I'm
you
saying
know,
like
no,
you,
I know what you mean though. I
think there has to be a direct personal connection. So social media has so, or like just the access to information and awareness has so skewed our understanding of like what it is to express grief,
yeah,
that we throw out expressions of heartbreak about something that, you know, 20 years ago we would have read a newspaper headline the following day or two and sort of thought, wow, that's a loss.
Yeah,
it's sort of a
sure.
recognition that
sure.
a loss happened,
yeah,
and then kind of that's it, because it doesn't affect you at all. So, like,
right,
yeah, the death of Prince, the death of David Bowie, the death of Robin Williams, you know, so on and so forth. These are things that, unless those guys had a direct effect on you, so maybe one of their songs profoundly impacted a relationship you had, or it's super nostalgic to a part of life that was meaningful, then, yeah, like, you can grieve the loss of that. But people act like they lost their best friend when a stranger passes away, or in this case, a building was damaged.
I just think it's people wanting to be able to portray themselves in a certain light. And so this gives them the opportunity to say something about themselves that I think they think contains, you know, a tad more depth than, like, you know, what they would normally be able to post and normally be able to communicate about how they feel about other things. To me, it just feels like something that can potentially be disingenuous, you know what I
yeah.
mean? It doesn't mean it is yeah. for everybody, certainly, but it feels like there's this idea that, you know, I'm really, what I'm trying to do in that moment is I'm making it all about me. I'm taking the focus off the thing. I'm putting it on how I feel about the thing. And so in a lot of ways, it kind of makes it more about the person that's posting than about the thing they're posting about. And
absolutely,
so,
though, yeah. Isn't that just like the very definition of social media, though? Like, this thing that happened, this is now about me. Because in a way that I couldn't or didn't 25 years ago, I'm now responding to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, your points are both great. And Pipe, you made the point, you know, if a building falls down 20 years ago, you're sad in your living room. Maybe you talk about it at dinner with your parents or your friends or whatever. But then the thing is essentially over. But yeah, like every single thing that happens in our culture is an invitation to make it about myself. I find this to be deeply depressing. Is there anything like hopeful in it? Like, is there any like ray of sunshine in this? Like for me or for you guys, or is it all? Because it just seems grim to me.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. It's
I don't know that it's bleak in terms of like, oh no, society is going to hell in a handbasket kind of thing. But yeah, it's cheap. Because the thing that I think of is the expression of sadness that people post online, and you know, the moment they close their app, they're moving on to other things. You know, it's so heartbreaking to see this.
You know,
but if your heart is broken. I speak as one with experience. You don't move away from it when you close the app. You carry that with you.
That's right.
And so if you're heartbroken over the loss of Notre Dame or the death of a celebrity, that goes with you. That's not a thing that you post about and then you're like, all right, bagels and coffee, here we go. And off you go. Like, it is disingenuous.
Yeah.
People are using words to express a thing that's not real.
Yeah.
And that's not, and then again, there are definitely people for whom certain tragedies have very specific meaning. I saw one guy posted, it was a lengthier reflection about how when he lived in France, he regularly went there and that was a place of spiritual peace and solace. And that's real. He lost something significant. People who have seen pictures or snapped a selfie in front of it on their 24 hours in Paris, like, boo-hoo. You know, like it is a loss in a sort of a categorical sense, but not a loss in your life.
Yeah, I know. And it brings it back to breaking down like what we have determined in this particular era to be of what loss actually is. You know what I mean? Yep. And again, it's hard. So from our standpoint, it's hard, you know. It's hard to tell somebody what they actually feel loss about if they're telling you they feel loss about something. So we're standing a little far back from this thing, obviously, and being broad and general about it. I think what Pipe said, there's a part of it that feels, there's a part of it that feels plastic, you know, and it's hard to get around that. And, you know, I think at the same time, is this leading us into something that has, you know, deeper implications? It probably is, actually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, if everything we do is plastic, in another 5 or 10 years, are we even going to be able to recognize what plastic is or what plastic used to be? You know what I'm saying?
Or is it just, or is like, is that level of, so here would be my take on it. Is that level of loss and grief, which let's just say, you know, it's an inch deep, and an inch deep is still a measure of loss and grief. But are we reducing now all of our loss and grief to be contained within that medium?
I don't know that we're reducing it all, but we've created an inability to differentiate.
Yeah, that's a
because
good point.
We do the same thing on the positive side when everything is epic and best ever. Well, what is left to express the things that are actually epic and the best? You know, when I see somebody express love for a friend and they're like, best friend, love them forever, et cetera, I'm like, well, what are you going to say to a spouse or like to Jesus? I don't know. Like there's a cheapening of expression when we're not comfortable just describing something. We're not comfortable saying that is a tragedy.
Right.
We feel this obligation to then have a disingenuous outpouring of expression, even if we don't actually feel it, which means we can't express the things that we actually do feel accurately.
But that's a great point, because we're living in the age of extremity, right? So everything, nothing really matters, because you got to be louder than everybody to get heard. So I think part of that is just living in this particular moment where it's like everything has to be better than the best. Everything has to be worser than the worst.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really, I can't get validated unless it reaches those peaks or those lows.
Yeah.
And that's it's problematic.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. Everything has to be like epiphanal. You know, you can't just say, man, that's a bum deal. That sucks. You know, it was a beautiful building.
And it's an insult if you use like moderate compliments. You know, if somebody's like, what did you think of the movie? You're like, it was good. They're like, oh, you didn't like it? Like, no, I just said it was good.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
How was the restaurant? I enjoyed it. Oh, it wasn't great. I really enjoy. Like, now I've had to up it to really just to prove my point. You know, this is the inflation of language that has just devalued the word.
yeah, it's okay for something to not be transcendent. You know, not everything has to be this transcendent thing. But boys, we are in the business of doing transcendent radio, and I feel like, you know, this episode was probably qualifies. You know, so if you're on social media,
how great was this episode, Big T? Describe it. How great was it?
It was the best.
I mean, but best, or is it more than? I mean,
I don't know.
Is that
yeah, you did. I don't. I'm not feeling what you said, Ted. I'm not sure you really meant it.
Baby, it was literally the most special 45 minutes I've ever spent in my life. It was incredible.
You're telling me more about it. Getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me more about it.
I love you guys so much. I mean, I just love you so much.
This is working.
I can hear the tears hitting your desk. I now believe
this is working.
Dude, yeah, it's so working. I'm kind of talking myself into it. But boys, this has been it's been fun. It's been fun to do radio. You know, I hope people don't get mad at us for that last take, but it is an interesting little moment that we're in, and I'm glad we talked about it. I'm glad we talked about Pipe's new car. I'm glad we talked about Gooch, our grown-up clothing line for pastors. This thing just gets better and better the more we talk about it.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hello, hello. Punice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.